Stephen is one of my favourite characters in the Word of God. Turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. If you remember, last week we spoke a little bit about Stephen, and we spoke about the fact that he had been chosen as a deacon, and yet it seems that of all of these deacons, we really don't know very much about any of them except for Stephen. And we are given this insight into Stephen's witness, his preaching, his courtroom appearance before the council, probably the Sanhedrin, and his ultimate death. And it really is a tremendous sermon and testimony that Stephen makes. So while we know relatively little about him, what we do know of him is really a blessing to us to read and to meditate upon. We saw that Stephen was taken because of false witnesses at the end of chapter 6. He was brought before the council, and accusations and allegations were made against him which were false. But as the council looked at him, we are told that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest at the beginning of chapter 7 said, "Then said the high priest, are these things so? These things that you have been accused of, these things that we read about in 13, verse 13 and 14, where it says that the false witnesses were set up, and they said that this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And then the high priest stood up and he said, "What? What?" And we can almost imagine the mock attitude that he took in that courtroom, pretending that he was terribly offended at these allegations, knowing full well that these were false allegations that had been concocted by the people that had dragged Stephen in, and that they were lies from the beginning. And he stands up and in his mock abhorrence he says, "What? Can these things really be true? Oh, how God hates hypocrisy." These men thought that they had control over Stephen's life. God was holding their lives in his hand, and God will hold men accountable for the things that they say and they do. And so we find that Stephen stands up and he says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan," or Haran, as it is called elsewhere in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to take the time this morning, because we really want to just make a few points to the young people to read the whole of this chapter. It's a long chapter, and it's a history chapter. It's a chapter which still tells us the story of the workings of God amongst the people of Israel. It covers about 1,000 years from the calling of Abraham to the establishment of the temple, the building of the temple by Solomon. And it's very interesting, and it's good for us to read this story, but I don't want to take the time because it's quite a lot of verses right now. And rather, I want just to make a couple of points about this man, Stephen, for your interest. The first thing I want to point out about him is this, that he was a brave man. Stephen seems to have been a lone voice here in the council. And he was in the company of a room full of fierce opponents. These were false witnesses, and these were people who were judging him on the allegations that these false witnesses were making. And everybody knew that it was a jumped up allegation. And it was likely that there were more than 100 people shouting and waving their arms and against Stephen as he stood there in the middle of this semicircle of the great and the good and the judges of Israel. There were perhaps many, many more if this was a public gathering of the council, the Sanhedrin. And yet Stephen spoke clearly and boldly and passionately about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you said to me, you know what, I've read this passage through, and I'm not so very sure where I can find in the history of Abraham to the construction of the temple by Solomon where Stephen speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Well, let me show you. In verse 2, he says, "The God of glory who appeared to our father Abraham." That was the Lord Jesus Christ that appeared to Abraham. Look at verse 32. There we're told about Moses' experience in the burning bush. And there again, we hear the words, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And that was the Lord Jesus Christ that was speaking to Moses. Look at verse 37, because here again Moses' words are taken into Stephen's testimony. "This is that Moses," says Stephen, as he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, to the council, "which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear." They would hear the voice of this prophet that God would raise up from amongst them. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 38, we discover that there was an angel, a messenger, spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. If we go back and look at that incident, that episode in the life of the children of Israel, where the commandments were given to Moses on the top of the mountain, we will discover that that was the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke to Moses there on the top of the mountain. And look at verse 52, towards the end of the chapter. Here, Stephen is coming towards the end of those things which he was going to say, perhaps, although I do feel as if the way in which there is such a big break between verses 50 and 51 that Stephen probably was being drowned out by the shouts of these people. And he says in verse 52, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and the murderers." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is being talked about throughout these verses, although history is being presented to these men. So here we find that Stephen was a brave man. The second thing I want to draw to your attention is that he was an able man, and he gave a full and accurate account of this period of Jewish history. And he did it with no notes and no preparation. He didn't know that he was going to be dragged in before the council that day. He was just there in the street. He was talking to these Pharisees, he was speaking to the scribes, and suddenly they jumped on him and they dragged him into the council and they put him before this court and they said, "Now give a reason." And he stood up And in these verses, he gave an exquisite defense of God's workings with the people of Israel over 1,000 years. He was an able and educated man in the things of the scriptures and in the things of God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that the Lord was with him when he was defending himself and speaking these words of truth. And the Lord told his disciples that they would be taken into the synagogues and into trouble. You know, sometime you may be asked to give a reason for the faith that is within you. Sometime you may have to stand up and speak about the Lord. Someday you may have to say, you know what, I don't do that because I'm a Christian. You're a what? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, what's that all about? Will you be able to speak to the defense of your Lord? Will you be able to give a reason for the faith that is within you? Here's what the Lord said to his disciples in Luke chapter 12. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Some of us get quite anxious about whether or not we will be able to speak about the Lord at that moment when we are confronted. But if we have been with the Lord, if we have been under the gospel, if we have the Lord living in our lives, we are not to become anxious about these things, but rather we are simply to testify the truth that we find in Jesus, and he will give us the words to speak for the moment and for the circumstances. We could have read a little bit from Matthew chapter 16 and verse 20 here, but we won't take the time to do that. All I want to note in this portion is that God will not leave himself without a witness. And the third thing about Stephen is this, that he was an honest man and he was a faithful man. He was brave, he was able, he was honest and faithful. Stephen seems to have had two key messages that he wanted to preach to these people when he stood up. He wanted to show that this temple that they were all so proud of, this temple that he was being accused of speaking against, indeed, Jerusalem as a city and Israel as a people, was not that important to God. Or rather, that God was pleased to meet with his people, speak to his people, live with his people, wherever his people were. You see, these Jews had become so preoccupied with the bricks and the mortar, with the streets and the roads, with this idea, this notion that this was the holy city, this was the holy temple, that they didn't realize that spiritual life was a personal thing. It wasn't anything to do with the surroundings. It had to do with the condition of a man and a woman's heart. God didn't need a temple made with hands, because he dwelt in the lives of his people. He dwells in his church. And even in verse 38, we discover that the church in the wilderness was where the Lord dwelt with his people. So nowadays we don't have to go to Israel to worship God. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't have to go to some temple in order to worship God. We worship God in our hearts. We worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God when we come together with his church in order to hear the gospel. The second thing that Stephen seems to have wanted to point out to these men is this, that for all God's goodness to the children of Israel, to Abraham and Moses, to Joshua and David and Solomon and all of the key individuals in the history of Israel, the people were always a disobedient people. They always resisted God's words. They always resisted God's prophets. And furthermore, says Stephen, nothing has changed to this day. These men today, before whom he stood, before whom he gave his defense, were just as stubborn and just as resistant to the Holy Spirit, because they had killed the Lord Jesus Christ as their forefathers had killed the prophets. Stephen understood the hardness of men's hearts. He understood the wickedness of the natural man. And so in verse 51, he declares, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Men's hearts are still the same until and unless the Holy Spirit softens our hearts, comes with words of life and grace and mercy, and takes the gospel and applies it to our souls. When we preach the gospel, whether it's at the rescue mission, whether it's here at church, whether it's in our conversations to friends and people that we know, when we preach the gospel, we know that people can't understand, they won't understand until God, the Holy Spirit, opens their hearts, opens their ears, and brings that gospel of truth to bear upon their life. I mentioned that Stephen was one of my favourite characters in the Bible. Well, next week, if the Lord tarry, we will discover how this brave man, how this able man, how this honest and faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ died at the hands of these wicked, stiff-necked and hard-hearted people, and how he became the first martyr of the Christian church. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us. Amen.